We're going to read tonight from the third chapter of this book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 3. There are only five verses in the chapter, so we'll read from verse 1 to the end. And let's keep our Bibles open, please, throughout the remainder of the meeting. Hosea chapter 3, verse number 1. Hosea 3, verse 1. Hosea says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley, and an half homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return, and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord, and his goodness in the latter days." And we know God will bless the reading of his word to your hearts tonight. It's really the first two verses of this chapter that we want to consider for a little while this evening as we think about the subject of amazing love. Amazing love, the greatness of grace in the life of Gomer. Gomer was Hosea's wife. And in many respects, there's tragedy in this story, but there's also victory and love and mercy. And it really reflects something of the greatness of God's love. And we're going to bow our heads now in prayer and ask God to speak to your hearts. So let's enter into the spirit of prayer. Let's call upon the Lord. Father, we thank thee that we're found around thy feet, around the word of God. And we pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will open our hearts and open our eyes and just make us tonight to understand something of the greatness of the love of our God. O God, I pray for some in the meeting tonight that do not know thee. Others perhaps, O God, that once professed thy name but are far from thee now. Lord God, we pray that with the cords of love thou wilt draw them to thyself. And grant, O God, that a work might be done in hearts and lives this evening. Hear and answer prayer. We ask it for thy glory, giving thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hosea was God's prophet to the nation of Israel during what we could call Israel's zero hour. He was called to preach to a nation that was tragically, and we could almost say hopelessly, backslidden from God. His message was very, very simple. His message was simply, return. Come back to your first love. Hosea chapter 6 and verse number 1, come. Let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Or indeed, chapter 14 and verse number 1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. The sins of Israel were great, but the love of God was greater still. The backsliding of Israel was great, but the mercy of God was greater. The Bible says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And this is played out in a wonderful way in the prophecy of Hosea. Hosea was a man deeply acquainted with God's heart. Hosea was the prophet of the broken heart. He was also the prophet of the broken home. Tragically,
And sadly, Hosea's wife Gomer proved to be unfaithful to him. She became an adulteress. In fact, more than that, she became a prostitute. Or rather, she went back to her former life of prostitution after Hosea had entered into a covenant marriage relationship with her. Now, friends, tonight the Bible is very clear that God is married to his people. The Bible is very clear as well that God is married to a people even whenever that people are backslidden. And even whenever that people prove to be unfaithful to him. Furthermore, God views it as adultery. Whenever his professed people enter into a love relationship with this present world. James said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship or the love of the world is enmity with God?" The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And as God's people depart from God, and I believe that's happening in a grand scale in these days, and flirt with the world, and seem to love the world more than they love the Lord. That's a sign of the last days. Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The Bible calls it spiritual adultery. How God's heart breaks whenever his people who profess to love him sadly forsake him, and he has to win them and woo them all over again. Hosea chapter 3 has been called by some commentators the greatest chapter in the Bible. And certainly it shows the greatest love that the world has ever known, the love of God. And if we bring it down to a human level and we think about Hosea and his love for his wife, certainly it was the greatest human love, I believe, that was ever displayed, certainly in the Word of God. It shows us Hosea's love for his wife in spite of her unfaithfulness, in spite of all that she was and all that she did and all that she became. Hosea still loved her. And it replicates and reflects something of the vastness and the majesty and the greatness of the love of God, even for a people who at times prove to be unfaithful to him. The story of Hosea and Gomer is a story all about grace. And God is the God of all grace. Salvation is by grace alone. And the grace of God was described by John Newton in his great hymn as being an amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Grace can triumph in the life of any sinner. Grace can also triumph in the life of a backslider or in the life of a Christian who maybe feels, "I've made such a mess of my life and such a mess of my testimony that God could no longer possibly love the likes of me." Maybe tonight you're in the meeting and that's how you feel. You feel that you've sinned against God, even as a Christian. And yet God loves you still. I want to speak, as I've said, about this amazing love, the greatness of grace, the greatness of God's grace in the life of Gomer. Three simple things that I want you to consider as we think about love and grace as it unfolds throughout the book of Hosea, especially in this chapter. God's love and God's grace is unconditional. That's the first thing that I want you to think about. God's love for his people is unconditional. And God's grace as well is unconditional. Now God in Hosea chapter 1 asked Hosea to do something that in the eyes of his neighbors and friends and maybe even his family would have been a very difficult thing for him to do. He asked him to go and take a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. God is asking Hosea to go down to the slave market and to choose a wife. A wife who has been, previous to her marriage, a wife who has been a harlot or a prostitute. And God is asking Hosea to go down and choose a wife of whoredoms, someone who was a former prostitute. I want you to marry her. I want you to choose to forget about her past and all that she has done and all that she has been. And I want you to love her. And I want you to enter into marriage and a covenant union with her. Because that is what God has done in the nation of Israel. And that is what God does essentially in the life of any sinner, any one of us who have been saved and brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have experienced unconditional love, unconditional grace. And whenever God saved us, there was nothing lovely about us. And yet the love of God towards us was unmerited, undeserved, and unearned, and unconditional. Richard Sibbes was an old Puritan, and he said, "Grace is above all conditions." Isn't that a beautiful statement? Grace is above all conditions. If God's grace was conditional, it would not be grace at all. God's grace is unconditional. And that's the type of grace that Hosea had to display to this woman that he was going to take to be his bride. His love, his grace is seen in the fact that Gomer was chosen. I want you to go, Hosea, and take or choose yourself a wife. But that's the group of people that I want you to choose your wife from. Someone who has lived a sinful life. Someone who has been unclean and defiled in the eyes of the world. And I want you to go and choose yourself a wife. And in salvation, God chooses a people. We have to be honest with the Bible. Jesus Christ, our Lord, said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." The Word of God says that we are chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says that from the beginning, God hath chosen you unto salvation. Peter says that the church of Jesus Christ is a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. And Robert Murray McShane summed it up so well in that wonderful hymn, "Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified, teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I owe." God never chooses anyone or saves anyone or calls anyone unto himself on the basis of merit. God's love and grace is unconditional. John Calvin said, "When God elects us, it is not because we are handsome." And I'm sure people would have looked at Hosea, if they didn't know the thinking that he had and the call of God in his life, I'm sure many said, "Hosea, why are you choosing a wife from that group? Why are you going down to the slave market? People who were former harlots and fornicators and adulteresses and prostitutes, and you're choosing yourself a wife from that crowd? Why don't you go to the temple? Why don't you go to one of the synagogues? Why don't you find yourself a wife that's young and spotless and pure and undefiled?" But Hosea knew the call of God in his life, just as Jesus Christ came not into the world to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners unto repentance. Grace is seen in Gomer's life in that she was chosen. Grace was also seen in her life in that she was changed. Her life was radically changed. Somehow, along the way, as she entered into this marriage relationship with this prophet of God, this man of God, her life was being changed, and her life somewhere back there had been changed from a life of prostitution to a life of purity, from a life of prostitution to a life of purpose. And evidently, Gomer had taken, as any young couple does, she had taken her marriage vows. She had taken it upon her to honor, to love, to cherish, to obey her husband Gomer, or her husband Hosea. And in turn, he had taken it upon him to look after her, provide her for her, lead her, guide her, protect her, honor her, shelter her, lead her, and be a blessing to her. And maybe tonight you're here or you're listening in online, and there was a time in your life whenever you heard the call of God and you became a Christian and you promised to love and honor and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You took up the cross and you said you would follow him and you would love him and you would live for him and you would witness for him and you would be an individual who would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you meant it. And I believe that Gomer meant it whenever she promised in her marriage vows to honor, love, and obey her husband, Hosea. Her life had been changed. And now she had one husband, one man that she would love, one man that she would share her home and her bed with. And she meant it. Her life had been changed by the grace of God. She had been chosen in the grace of God. And not only was she chosen, and not only was she changed, but she was also cherished. Hosea loved her with all of his heart. God had asked Hosea to love her. And God had given him the grace to love her. You know, love is not just an emotion. Love is a choice. And Hosea chose to love this woman, come what may. I'm going to love her unconditionally. I'm going to love her regardless of what I receive in return. I'm not asking for anything. I'm just wanting to obey God and show love to my wife and love to the one that I have chosen to be my bride. In spite of what the world thinks of her, in spite of where she has been, in spite of the home or the family that she was born into, in spite of all of the mistakes that she has made, those things are forgotten as far as Hosea is concerned. And I love her for who she is. And I love her because the Lord has called me to do so. And that's just like the love of Jesus Christ for his church. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. In Hosea chapter 14 and verse 4, God says to Israel, I will heal their backslidings and I will love them. I will love them freely. And God cherishes his church. God loves you tonight. Did you ever think about it? Child of God, did you ever sit down for a few moments every once in a while and think about God's love? That God's love is an everlasting love. That God's love is an unconditional love. That God's love is a love that chose you and a love that changed you and a love that cherishes you. And also grace is seen in Gomer's life in the fact that she bore children. Her marriage was fruitful in that regard. Now, not everybody is blessed with children. But Hosea and Gomer were able to have 3 children, 2 sons and 1 daughter. And their marriage became very, very fruitful. And people could see the love that these 2 individuals had for each other and for their children. And it was the picture now of a home that was changed by the grace of God. A home that had love and a home that had faithfulness. And Gomer's life now has become very, very fruitful. And you might be able to look back as well. Maybe you're backslidden tonight, but you can look back to a time in your life whenever your Christian walk was bringing forth fruit. You were praying. You were reading your Bible. You were telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You were coming to the place of prayer. You were living a God-honoring life. You were bringing forth fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You were growing in grace. You were walking with God. And you can look back and testify in your life to everything that Jesus Christ has done for you and meant for you. And you realize that God's love and God's grace for me was unconditional, just as Hosea's love was for his wife. But there's something else I want you to notice about love and God's amazing love. Not only is it unconditional, but it is unchanging. You know, the time you get to chapter 3 of the prophecy of Hosea, God is speaking again to his servant. And the words that God says in chapter 3, verse 1, show us something of what must have been absolute torment and heartache in the heart of Hosea. We're not sure how long he had to bear with this, but God said to him, go yet. In other words, go again. Go again the second time. And love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord towards the children of Israel who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. We're not sure how and when it happened, but someday Hosea came home, opened the door to his home. The children are alone. They're hungry. They're crying. They're heartbroken. Their mother has left them. His heart is now broken when he realized that his wife that he loves has gone. And yet he is called to love her still. Go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend. Hosea, before you were married, you entered into a relationship with Gomer. And you showed to her unconditional love. You promised to love her for all time. And now she is gone. And Hosea, I want you to show her now not only unconditional grace and unconditional love, but unchanging grace and unchanging love. She made a departure. It was bad enough that she is gone. But it seems to be even worse still that she has gone back to her old trade. Chapter 1 and verse 2, we read it already. Go take thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. And now he says, go yet again and love a woman beloved of her friend. She had gone back to her old trade, gone back somehow to being a prostitute, selling her body. We're not sure why she did this. Maybe she somehow had become deluded or somehow had become desperate. But we see a woman now leaving her husband, leaving her own children, her own offspring, and departing and going out into that world and living a lustful and a licentious life. Is there somebody tonight in the meeting and you've done the same? Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to one of his seven churches says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. The prodigal son took of his substance and departed into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. And whenever he came back again and the father killed the fatted calf, do you remember the elder brother who is a type of the Pharisee, the religionist? Said to the prodigal's father, this thy son, he would not acknowledge him as a brother, has wasted thy substance and devoured thy living with harlots and all sorts of different things. And Gomer was like an Old Testament prodigal wife or prodigal daughter. Hosea had loved her, provided for her, and been the model husband, we believe. And yet she had let him down. And maybe tonight you're a backslider. And you know tonight that Jesus Christ loved you. You know that the Son of God died for you. You know tonight that he forgave you and he took you in and he washed you and cleansed you and saved your soul. And he's provided for you. And he's always been there for you as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But maybe tonight you have departed from him. And you're far from God tonight, maybe not physically, but in your heart and in your soul. A coldness has crept in. The love of the world has entered in. The love of pleasure and other things has gripped and captivated your heart. There was departure. And yet Hosea's love was unchanging. There was dishonor. And yet Hosea's love was unchanging. Gomer had dishonored her God. She had dishonored her husband. She had dishonored her children. She had also dishonored herself. And yet in spite of it, she was still loved. She was loved as well in spite of her defilement. Instead of being home with her husband and at home with her children, she was out there somewhere in the world selling her body to men who had no care, no concern, and probably no conscience. You know, it says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 22 concerning those who go back to their sin, it says, it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned again to his own vomit. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And sadly and tragically, Gomer went back to the very lifestyle that she had been saved and delivered and rescued from. And maybe tonight, instead of being amongst the family of God in a real sense, and in the place of fellowship and in the place of prayer and in the place of intimacy with your God and with your Savior, you would rather have this world and all that it has to offer. And maybe you've gone back to your sin. And yet in spite of her departure, her dishonor, her defilement, she was loved. As well, in spite of her disappointments, she was loved. In chapter 2 and verse number 7, it says, she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. She would come to a place of realization that this world has got nothing to offer. And my husband loved me, and he cared for me, and he provided for me, and he comforted me and supported me and did everything that a husband could have done and more. And I need to go back. But you know, whenever she went into the world, she found it very difficult to get back. Oftentimes, whenever you speak to someone who has left their first love and got away from the Lord, while there's disappointment, it seems to be very difficult to retrace your steps and to get back. And Gomer began to realize, like Moses, that the pleasures of sin are but for a season. Can I challenge you tonight, if you've left your first love, if you've grown cold towards the things of God, or at least you've got somehow stale and lukewarm, do you honestly think that being in a backslidden state, back in the world, is going to make you happy, going to satisfy you? You know in your heart tonight that none but Christ can satisfy, and the bread of life alone can fill you. And that water of salvation alone can quench your thirsts. Gomer was brought into a wilderness. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. Are you in a spiritual wilderness tonight? A place of fruitlessness? A place of barrenness? And yet God loves you in spite of your desertion? All of her lovers did not care. She was left in the scrap heap. And now she is given over to the chastening hand of God. It was also, as well, a life of drudgery. Verse number 2 of chapter 3, Hosea says, I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. She had incurred somewhere along the line a debt that she was not able to pay. And now she's on the slave market. And somebody needs to come and redeem her in order to pay off her debts. And she had become, in a sense, a slave. And maybe tonight you're a slave. And you've cultivated a habit in your life and you cannot break free from it. And you feel somehow that in your sin and in your captivity and in your bondage that God no longer loves you. And God wants nothing to do with you anymore. The Lord wants you to come back tonight. Come back to your first love. She could not redeem herself. It was also a life of destruction. Chapter 13 of the prophecy of Hosea and verse 9, God says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Maybe tonight you're on the brink of ruin. You're on the brink of destruction. You're on the brink of destroying your testimony. maybe on the brink of destroying your usefulness for God, maybe on the brink of destroying your home, your family, your marriage, even your job and your testimony, in a moment of time can be lost so easily. And yet, in spite of all that Hosea had done, her departure, her dishonor, her defilement, her disappointment, her desertion, her drudgery, her destruction, Hosea still loved her. And more than that, God still loved her. Why? Because God's love is unconditional. And God's love is unchanging. And then there's one last thought, and we're finished. His love was unending, or his love was unceasing. You know what? It would have been very easy for Hosea to come along and open the scriptures and open the law of God at Leviticus chapter 20 and put his finger in verse number 10 and say to his family and say to the leaders in Israel and say to the people in the synagogues and the people in the temple and even say to God himself, I could justifiably inflict the penalty of the law and have this woman stoned at a street corner because of what she has done and how she has treated me and how she has broken God's law. The law would kill us tonight if God chose to inflict the penalty of the law. But Hosea decided to show unceasing, unending grace, unending love, and that grace brought redemption. We've mentioned already verse number 2 of chapter 3. I brought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. She was destroyed. But there was a redeemer that could restore her and redeem her. You know, during the week I was down in the ICU in the Belfast City Hospital, Paul Keane was there. He's moved to a ward now, but I was reading with him and praying with him just at the top of the ICU ward. And as I was walking out, there was a young woman in the last bed at the door. And she had seen me reading the Bible and praying. And she was 32 years of age. And she called after me and she says, here, would you come and preach to me? It was a strange request. And I got down beside her bed and we got talking. And I tell you, she was just absolutely broken. The tears just didn't stop rolling down her cheeks and dripping off her chin, and talked about the things of God. And you know what? It became very evident very quickly that while she had been brought up in a church somewhere, she had no real concept at all of the gospel. And in the few moments that we had, I shared the gospel with her. I read with her. I took her to the cross, talked about the love of God, prayed with her. But she just cried and cried and cried like a baby. She was in ICU. Three children. One at 15, one at 10, and one at 3. 32 years of age herself. Life broken. She had tried to take her own life, and that's why she was in ICU. She said the only two men in her life that she ever loved were her father and her grandfather. She said, a few years ago, my dad killed himself. A couple of years after that, my grandfather died in my arms. The only male figure in all my life that I could trust. I tell you, there's a world out there, friends, that needs the Savior tonight. And I just thought about that poor young woman. And I said to her, you know, you've got a long life ahead of you, perhaps. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to God. Give your life to the Son of God. He loves you. He can save you and set you free. And oh, to God, that people like that would be redeemed by precious blood. There was redemption. There was also remittance or forgiveness of sins. Whenever Hosea found out where Gomer was and he found her on the slave market of sin, I'm sure she could hardly look him in the face at all, but he went to the slave owner and asked maybe the question, how much will it cost me to redeem that one there? And the price was, according to verse number 2, 15 pieces of silver and also some barley as well. And Hosea was gladly willing to pay the price at great expense to himself to redeem her and to buy her back. Now, the Word of God says that we are not redeemed with corruptible things. as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse tells a beautiful story about a man who went into one of the great rescue missions in the United States one night. He was almost naked, just no pair of trousers and a top coat that was held together with a safety pin. And he went in and he heard the gospel and he experienced love and he was converted. 2 years later, he came back to give his testimony. And as he was giving his testimony, he reached into his pocket and pulled out a gold-plated safety pin. And he says, "I keep this pin in my pocket to remind me of what I once was and to show the world what I have now become because of the grace of God." There was redemption. There was remittance. The blood of Jesus Christ can not only redeem but cleanse from all sin. There was also restoration, and there was also relationship. Her life was restored. Her soul was restored. Her marriage was restored. Her relationship with her children was restored. Her home was restored. Her whole life was restored in a moment of time. You can be restored tonight, rescued, redeemed, and forgiven, and brought into a right relationship with God again. God loves second-hand people. God can give you a new start tonight, a new beginning. Maybe you've never been converted. You've wandered and drifted far away from the home that you were brought up in. You never intended to go so far. Now, you mightn't be in the depths of sin tonight, but maybe it's just the love of this old world. And God comes to you tonight and knocks at your heart's door, wants you to respond and open your heart to Jesus Christ. Paul Rader, the great radio evangelist, tells a story about a particular cathedral. One night there was a tremendous storm, and one of the cathedral's largest and most beautiful stained glass windows was broken and came crashing to the marble floor in the cathedral and was broken into thousands of tiny pieces. At last, they got a replacement, and the cleaner came and swept up the pieces of broken glass and for some reason put them in a big wooden box and buried them somewhere down in the cellar amongst all of the other rubbish that was down there. Many years later, a visitor came to the cathedral and recognized that one of the windows was a lot newer than some of the others, and he asked the question about this new window. And the story was told that the old stained glass window had crashed to the floor and was smashed to pieces. And he says, "We still have some of the pieces." And he says, "Can I take them with me?" And the caretaker says, "Well, they're of absolutely no value to any of us. And feel free to take them with you and do whatever you will with them." And a number of weeks later, the man came back and invited the committee of the cathedral. The custodians were invited to go to an art exhibition in a neighboring town. And they went to the great hall where the art exhibition was, and they saw the visitor that had been with them a few weeks or months ago. And he rolled away a piece of canvas and unveiled a beautiful stained glass window, the like of which they had never seen before, that far surpassed any of the windows in their beautiful cathedral. And then he told the story of how he had found all of these pieces in a box. And he had made this beautiful window, and he gave it back to them. And they took the new window out, and they put it in with this restored window. And isn't that just tonight a lovely picture of the gospel? All of the broken pieces of your life, all of the broken pieces of your heart, all of the broken pieces of your past, Jesus Christ, the great physician, is able to take them all and make you into a more beautiful person than you ever were before. I trust tonight that you will come and experience God's amazing love, the greatness of God's grace in your life. Don't leave without Christ. How could you walk away? How could you walk away from such love, displayed and demonstrated upon a cruel cross? Blood was shed. Son of God was crowned with thorns, nailed to a cross, bore our sins and bore the wrath of God because of his amazing love. May God bless you richly tonight. And if we can help you, we'd love to point you to the cross. Don't leave. Please don't leave. without the Savior. Make this your night. Have you not been without Christ for long enough? Come to the Savior. Make no delay here in his word. He has shown us the way.